Good morning. Welcome to all on this Sunday morning, a day when the Shenandoah Valley is favoring us with warmth and some hints of the fall season. We gather with hearts full, with humble gratitude for God's goodness, for the bounties of friendship and the renewal of ties to this place, to this beloved community. Last night, one of the Jubilee alumni spoke of this weekend as sacred spaces. Indeed it is. We have shared stories of large lives, of dreamers and risk takers. We have bowed also in confession with a keen sense of our need for God's grace and mercy. Now we come together for worship in this final event of the homecoming weekend. Please join me for a prayer of invocation. With all your saints across the generations, we gather, holy God, to approach your mystery and hear your judgment. We come seeking the faith of those who have gone before us in righteousness and truth. Lead us by your word to walk in your ways and observe your commandments. Amen.
Of course, I'm a good one. next hymn is an African hymn, and your part is rather simple. Every time you hear Jesus Friend, you repeat it. So our choir will do Jesus Friend. Yeah, you need another rehearsal. They sing Jesus Friend.
Jesus Friend.
But you're late. Again, Jesus Friend.
Jesus Friend.
You're getting better.
Friend.
You're getting worse. Okay.
Spirit Friend. Jesus Friend.
Yeah. And every time you hear that Spirit Friend, you sing. And the rest of the time, if you don't need your hymnals really, because I'll cue you when it's time to sing, turn them into a drum or use something to drum, but don't just sit there, okay?
Yeah.
Veni, 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 veni.
Turn next in Hymnal Worship Book to number 27. I will invite you to hum a pitch and wait for further instructions, but it will basically run this way. I will sing the first stanza. The men, all the men, will do the second, all the women the third, and everybody the fourth. And when you're not singing text, continue the hum. Genesis.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, but the earth became chaos and emptiness, and darkness came over the face of the deep. Yet the Spirit of God was brooding over the surface of the waters. God said,
"Let us make humankind in our image, to be like us."
And humankind was created as God's reflection. In the divine image, God created them.
Female.
And male. God made them.
God fashioned this humankind out of the clay of the earth and blew into its nostrils the breath of life. And this creation of God became a living thing.
From the prophet Isaiah.
I, God, have called you to serve the cause of light. I have taken you by the hand and I watch over you. I have appointed you to be a covenant people, a light to the nations.
To open the eyes of the blind, to free captives from prison, and those who sit in darkness from the dungeon.
From the wisdom of Solomon.
Wisdom is a spirit, a friend to us mortals. The Spirit of God that fills the world is all-embracing and knows what we say. God created all things to be alive. All things of the world are made to be wholesome. Justice lasts forever. from the prophet Joel.
I will pour out my spirit on all humankind.
Your sons and daughters will prophesy.
Your elders will have prophetic dreams.
And your young people will see visions.
In those days I will pour out my spirit.
Even on those in servitude.
Women.
And men alike.
From the prophet Isaiah and repeated by Jesus in the temple.
The Spirit of God is upon me, for God has appointed me. God has sent me to bring good news to those who are poor.
To heal broken hearts.
To proclaim release to those held captive and liberation to those in prison.
To announce a year of favor from God and the day of God's vindication.
To comfort all who mourn. To provide those who grieve in Zion.
To give them a wreath of flowers instead of ashes.
The oil of gladness instead of tears.
A cloak of praise instead of despair.
They will be known as the trees of integrity, planted by God to display God's glory.
They will restore the ancient ruins and rebuild its sites long devastated. They will repair the ruined cities, neglected for generations.
From St. Paul's letter to the Romans.
The Spirit comes to help us in our weakness, for we don't know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit expresses our plea with groanings too deep for words.
And God, who knows everything in our hearts, knows perfectly well what the Spirit is saying. Because her intercessions for God's holy people are made according to the mind of God.
From St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Do all you can to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the peace that binds you together. There is one body and one Spirit.
Just as you were called into the one hope when you were called.
There is one Savior, one faith, one baptism, one God and Creator of all, who is over all, who works through all and is within all. From the book of Revelation.
It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to give you this message. I am the root and offspring of David, the morning star shining bright. The Spirit and the betrothed say,
come.
Let everyone who hears and answer, come.
Come. Next hymn is from Hymnal Worship Book number 26, and let's stand to sing together.
Holy Spirit, come with power.
As Alumni Council President, to introduce you to the 2016 awardees. Please refer to your homecoming booklet, as there's definitely more information there. Outstanding young alum. Grace is a 2010 EMU graduate who was not able to be here to join us this morning. For more than the past 5 years, working in impoverished and marginalized communities, Grace, Donna and Wayne Burkhart, Distinguished Service Award recipients. Donna and Wayne are 69 and 67 graduates of EMU. They have spent the last 30 plus years serving at Gould Farm, a residential therapeutic community that helps individuals suffering with severe depression, bipolar disorder, and schizophrenia. Donna and Wayne Burkhart. Harvey Yoder, our Alumnus of the Year, is a 1964 graduate. Harvey is a teacher, pastor, counselor, writer, and community organizer here in Harrisonburg. This past March, he received the Harriet Tubman Commemorative Leadership Award, and in April was recognized as Counselor of the Year by the Central Valley Counselors Association. Harvey Yoder.
What does the Lord require of you? 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 What does the Lord require of you?
Thanks for the opportunity to speak on a sometimes neglected aspect of what the Lord requires of us, to what Richard Stearns calls the hole in our gospel. I can't thank EMU enough for its part in being the kind of alma mater, nurturing mother that's addressed that issue of justice in a way that's made a huge difference in my life from the time I enrolled here 56 years ago. My experiences in my classes, in regular chapel services, and special events, many of them held right here in this space, were transformative, along with the many friends I made who enlarged my world and impressed the words of Micah and the prophets and of Jesus ever more indelibly on my life. And of course, the most special of all of my Christ-following friends that I met here, someone who took an active part in a little church way out in Mount Jackson while she was a busy student here, became the love of my life, Alma Jean, and a wonderful wife and companion and mother to our three children, and great grandma to six grandchildren. Another one of the great good reasons for coming to a Christian college like this. I'm also indebted to God's people and the congregational families that I grew up in and two of which I later pastored. Folks who were my spiritual uncles and aunts, sisters and brothers, cousins who demonstrated Micah-like faithfulness, along with my having been blessed and nurtured by my biological family. My father, who passed away 31 years ago, left me his well-worn Bible, in which he has today's text from Micah, chapter 6, verse 8, heavily underlined.
Without talking much about justice, he and my mother simply lived it. On her tombstone are the words of a gospel song that she liked, "I need no mansion here below." As a testimony to that, in their retirement, my parents lived in a modest mobile home. And throughout their lives, everyone knew them as among the most hospitable people ever, not just toward their many friends, but toward strangers and people who were marginalized in the rural southern neighborhood we lived in. And my dad, in spite of his struggle to provide for us nine children, the youngest being one they adopted as a welfare child, gave a tithe of his milk check to Mennonite Central Committee or to some other charity every month, out of gratitude for feeling blessed with far more than he saw others less fortunate in the world enjoy. And that was not just a tenth of the profit, but of the entire check. Now, we did have other farm income as well, but that left a huge impression on me when it came to loving God and loving your neighbor with a generous justice. Today, I know his heart and his milk check would be for people like Syrian refugees and for hurricane victims in Haiti. I've also been inspired by numerous inmates in our Virginia jails and prisons that I've come to know, starting with when I went with other students here every week to our local county jail, an experience that began my lifelong interest in criminal injustice. One of my current inspirations is Charles Zellers, who writes volumes about justice from inside Buckingham Correctional Center. And he's taken multiple college classes during his 22 years behind bars. And in spite of being a trusted supervisor at one of the manufacturing enterprises at Buckingham, where he earns just over $1 an hour, and in spite of having an aging and ill mother who desperately needs his help at home, he's been turned down for parole a heartbreaking 8 times. Like many others, his underpaid court-appointed attorney had persuaded him to take a plea deal with the assurance that if he stayed out of trouble, he would be released on parole within a few years. And that's never happened. And then there's the passion for justice that I feel for John Benny Williams. I have his picture here. He's the middle one in this lineup. He's an 83-year-old African-American who has an impeccable record of good behavior while being in prison, but has been turned down 22 times by the parole board, in spite of his also being eligible for geriatric release because of his age. These are just a few of the things that have motivated me to keep putting off some kind of Sarasota-like retirement and to keep using whatever influence and whatever means I have left to encourage everyone to love justice as God does, and to keep praying daily that God's upside-down kingdom would come and that God's will truly be done right here on earth as it is in heaven. Some years ago, 60 Minutes commentator Andy Rooney suggested, tongue-in-cheek, that we might need a new religion, one that would totally rule out war and other forms of violence and injustice and inequity. We know there already is such a religion, but one that simply lacks enough people committed to living it in such a way that justice will roll down like a mighty torrent, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Where what happens in Harrisonburg and wherever you live is directly impacted by what is happening among our global village neighbors, that wherever there are people who are suffering, in Haiti, in Honduras, in the Sudan, or in Syrian refugee camps, that those people, those places, would become for us, in the words of the late Elie Wiesel, the center of the universe. Among the closing words in the book of Hebrews that I leave you with, remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as though you yourselves were suffering. Thank you.
Good to be here today, and I know that we're moving in on what happens here every Sunday. I joined it 50 years ago. I did this room sometimes. So to the youngest, to the oldest, I think what occurs to me are reflection and anticipation. You youngest people will have lots and lots of experiences, whether here or elsewhere. You 54ers who came back, is that the earliest class we've got coming back? Anyway, that was the one that won the prize, right? You 1954ers are looking back at a lot of things. Well, I'm right behind you, and I'm looking at that too. I had wonderful experiences at Eastern Mennonite, crucial experiences, awesome experiences, decisions to make, and by all, I made them, however they turned out, right? And experiences since. One of the deep experiences of my life was the losing of my elder son of two sons, and That did change my life, that did influence, as you have had, those experiences that made you wonder and reflect. And fortunately, I came out on the other side with love, with beauty, seeing the beauty of the universe amid all the pain and all the sadness. So mercy is a subject that I thought about a lot in thinking about us here this morning. To live in mercy is to be calm and confident that I should continue life's journey from this point forward. All will be well, and nothing could be as correct and satisfying as this course through life. I wish that for all of you.
For me, mercy has been a simple opening of the heart. It is what God did in standing with his son on the cross. It is what the Dalai Lama did, bearing the pain of torture, so that his torturers would not need to bear as much pain in remembering his suffering and what they had done. It is what each of us does in a way to move forward in a fragmented, struggling, suffering world, not knowing the answers. Every day, a multitude of things for which we have no answers. Building walls, no. Not building walls. And not solving all the wrongs, but person to person, with our hearts wide open, embracing what we cannot bear, not pushing it away, embracing it, pulling it in. That's been my experience of God's mercy in our lives. And whatever we hope we have given has been our path to everything that we have received, to love mercy. Thank you for the privilege of coming home here, standing with all of you, and knowing that we forge our way forward, that we are as much a part of what EMU is. Each of us has had a part in that. Thank you all for sharing this moment with us this morning.
It is my great honor and privilege to share with you words that our daughter Grace wrote for this time of worship this morning. Before I share those words, I just want to convey her gratitude for the award, her regret that she's unable to be here, and her deep hope that something about her story might inspire others to greater faithfulness wherever God has planted them. So here now these words. Follow me, Jesus said to the first disciples 2,000 years ago. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of humans. What a strange invitation to those original disciples. But Jesus spoke similar words to me through the mouth of a 14-year-old street girl as I visited her slum in 2009. Follow me, she said, as we trudged through mud to visit her slum. But her words were not just her words, they were Jesus' invitation to me. Follow me into the slums, Jesus said. Follow me into the muddy, garbage-ridden streets of urban megacities. Meet me here amongst the poor. Follow me into the slums because I have so much to teach you here. And so I did. And for the past 6 years, I have been following Jesus in the slums. Jesus gives each one of us the same invitation, follow me. The logistics look a bit different for each follower, but we are all called to follow, and we are called to follow humbly. We follow humbly because we know that our following is like a baby learning to walk. We are not good at this following game. We fall down. We get back up. We laugh as we learn. Sometimes we cry. I think of my children learning to walk, first holding both my hands and then one hand, and finally learning to balance forward on their own, but always with me close by in case they fall. We are only babies, learning to walk, following Jesus. At the most, we are toddlers. My 2.5-year-old son, Jeremy, is an expert walker and runner now. He even has mastered riding a balanced bike. And now part of my job of following God is to teach my son how to follow too. We walk over trash heaps together. Hold my hand, Mommy, he says. He says, is there a lot of smoke today? And the irony is that often my children teach me about humility, about how to love others, and about God. For Jeremy is not afraid to get dirty and run through puddles and play with mud for hours. He forms friendships that cross religious and economic and social barriers without even realizing it. Jesus gives each of us the same invitation today. Follow me. Follow me. Our Lord Jesus went to the cross, and we cannot expect anything easier. We can trust that he will be with us through every step of the journey, but we know the journey will not be easy. My journey of following Jesus into the slums has been very muddy, literally muddy. Having no paved roads means that rainy season produces a muddy mess to trudge through. Rain boots are a necessary accessory. But the journey has been hard in other ways. A fire in my first community, followed by evictions, sickness and physical suffering for me and for my friends, wrestling with questions of wealth, poverty, evil, faith. Life is one big muddy mess sometimes. But Jesus calls us to follow him. Ultimately, to follow him to the cross, that is not an easy calling. It is not comfortable. It is not clean. It is not nice. But it is a way to life. God invites us into his muddy, messy world to follow him because in him is life. And this is what I have found. In the midst of the burning trash piles and swarming flies, God is here. In the faces of my friends who have suffered so much but still freely love others, Jesus teaches me to love. And in the bittersweet knowledge that all of my efforts to make this community a better place are nothing but a drop in the ocean, is the truth that God was in this place before I came. God loves these people more than I ever can. And God has a plan that I cannot even fathom, but that I know is good. And the great news is that Jesus invites us all to follow. Jesus invites us to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly as we follow, to walk humbly. For Jesus invites us to join him in the work of the kingdom. So let's get muddy together.
Thank you, Harvey and Wayne and Donna and Carmen, on behalf of Grace, for exemplifying lives of dedicated service and for sharing so freely and powerfully today what it means to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. At this time, we invite the ushers to come forward to receive an offering. And while they're coming, I want to just explain that the offering this morning will support the Young Alum Endowed Scholarship Fund. 6 to 10 scholarships are awarded each year by the Alumni Association to rising seniors who sense a call to Christian service. Your gift today will go entirely toward the Young Alum Scholarship Fund. So thank you in advance for your contributions. Join me in prayer. Lord God, it is with hearts full of gratitude that we are gathered here today. We are grateful for the many experiences of learning in these halls, and for the many lives that have been shaped for service in your kingdom, close to home and in the far reaches of the world. We are grateful for the many relationships formed in this place and endured over time that have impacted our lives through the movement of your Spirit. Lord, most of all, we are grateful for you, our Creator, our Sustainer, and our Friend. It is your hand that guides us, your arms that comfort us, and it is your generosity that provides for our every need. We thank you for all those who give so much, whether it is out of their abundance or simply out of their need to give. May the gifts we share today be a blessing to each recipient. Bless the giver and the gift, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
The hymn text that you see printed in your program is from 1991 by a Roman Catholic sister from central Minnesota. She likes it sung to the tune of Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Let's stand to sing it together.
Love.
blessing. On the day when you are wearing your certainty like a cloak and your sureness goes before you like a shield or like a sword, may the sound of God's name spill from your lips as you have never heard it before. May your knowing be undone. May mystery confound your understanding. May the divine rain down in strange syllables, yet with an ancient familiarity. And knowing born in the blood, the ear, the tongue, bringing the clarity that comes not in stone or in steel, but in fire, in flame. May there come one searing word, enough to bear you to the bone, enough to set your heart ablaze, enough to make you whole again.
Can we give this wonderful group of students another round of applause? As many of you know, Ken J. Nafziger is retiring at the end of this academic year after more than 40 years and innumerable lives transformed here at EMU. Yesterday, over 50 chamber singers from each of those decades reminisced about our experiences singing under his direction. The responses ranged from humorous to the sacred, and more than a little of both. One person recounted a program error that stated without any punctuation that the next song would be Under the Shadow of the Almighty Conductor Ken Nafziger. Fitting, I think. Another told of a moment of transcendence, weeping as the music we made together washed over him. And by the end, we had all graduated in the same year. I'd like to invite that group of chamber singers to come up front here so that we can sing what we rehearsed yesterday in the same order that we rehearsed in. That time of sharing could have gone on all day, but we couldn't very well all be together in one place and not sing. The next song you'll hear is Dona Nobis Pacem by Johann Sebastian Bach. And while it wasn't sung every year, it has particular themes and threads that link the chamber singers of 1977 to the chamber singers of 2017. Just as Bach transformed the world with his music, so too has Ken in this space, in this time, in this community. Ken and Helen, Dona Nobis Pacem translates to grant us peace. And from all of your chamber singers, past and present, we wish you both peace in this next chapter of your lives.
Ken, can you join me up here on stage? Just again, as a token of appreciation, and I'm sure you heard so much about it yesterday, for all you've done, we would love to extend this to you as a way to say thank you, and God bless you. Thank you.